chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18, read one verse, verse number 20. This is a verse that you've probably heard a bunch of times. And I got to looking at this, and let me just say this while you're finding Matthew 18, verse 20. It's going to be on the screen there for you. And this is brand spanking new, fresh off of the press, like Friday. And I got to looking at something, and this is, I'm just going to give you half of it because I'm still working on some of this other stuff. All right, all right. But I went through all the Bible and found every place where Jesus said he was in the midst. Went through all the Bible and looked at every place where Jesus said he was in the midst. And here is one of those places that I found very interesting that you are familiar with. Matthew 18, verse 20, you're there, say amen. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, there's more than two or three here today, right? Yes. Then the Lord ought to be in the midst of our service. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. God, I pray for the next little bit that you would give us that we need from your word. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20, we find that Jesus is in the midst where two or three are gathered together. And we've heard that verse. And matter of fact, especially I've heard it quoted a bunch of times when there is just a handful of people, and many people get up and say, no, why? Now, you know that where two or three are gathered, that Jesus said he's going to be in the midst. Now, there's some things I want to dissect from this verse that I've looked at and just found in the Bible. But all through the Bible, if you were to look at some of those places, and I'm not going to preach on all of these, don't have time this morning. But over there in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 46, the Bible says when Jesus was 12 years old, it said it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. He's in the temple, and the doctors and the lawyers are up here reading the scroll of Isaiah. And no doubt this 12-year-old boy come in, and the upper crust, they're thinking, okay, where's children's church? Show this boy where children's church is. He's fixing to mess up our whole service. He's in here. He's got his hand up. He wants to say something. And finally, they probably said, all right, son, come on up here. We'll let you read. We'll let you read our Bible. He says, I won't need it. I wrote it. And the Bible says that he confounded all the doctors and the lawyers. And they said, never a man spake like this man. I imagine one of them looked at that boy and said, boy, what in the world is your name? He said, well, on my mama's side, my name is Jesus. All right. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah. They said, boy, how old are you? He said, well, on my mama's side, I'm just 12 years old. But on my father's side, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and I've always been. They said, boy, where are you from? He said, well, on my mama's side, I'm from a little town called Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I'm from a city called New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I feel like preaching. They said, boy, how you get around? He said, well, on my mama's side, I ride a donkey everywhere I go. But on my father's side, in Revelation 19, I'm coming back on a white horse, and they'll crown me King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They said, boy, are you even human? He said, well, on my mama's side, I get hungry. But on my father's side, I'll take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 people with it. He said, sometimes I get thirsty on my mama's side, but in John 4, I'm going to meet this woman at the well, and I'll tell her if she'll drink of this water, she shall never thirst again. When Jesus gets in the midst, everybody sitting there is just astonished at him even being in the midst. And then I looked, and then I found over there in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, the whole story. Y'all remember the story about the scribes and Pharisees. They brought this woman that was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, if they caught this woman in the very act, where's the man? Why didn't they bring the man? I smell a rat somewhere. This is a setup. So they bring the woman, but they didn't bring the man, but they said she was caught in the very act. Why didn't you bring the man with the woman? But without telling that whole story, they bring that woman and sit in the midst, and they say, Jesus, now the law says, and the Old Testament says, this woman should be stoned. What say you? And he stooped down in the midst. And he began to write on the ground. And he said this. He said, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And this is what he told them. He said, ye amongst y'all. This is in the previous verse. I didn't put it up there, should have. But in the previous verse, he said, ye without sin among y'all, cast first stone. Here's something I picked up on. Notice there wasn't but one person there that was without sin. That's why he said, ye among y'all. Because if you're going to include me in this thing, I can throw a stone because I am sinless. But I'm not going to, because I'm going to be this woman's advocate. Her go-between. So in Luke 2, when Jesus gets in the midst, everybody's astonished. But then in John 8, when he says the woman taken in adultery, he becomes her advocate. Boy, I wish I had time to preach all of this. And then I went to look over there in John 19, about verse number 18. And Jesus on the cross, and he bearing his cross, went forth of the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. And the next verse says, where they crucified him, the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Well, in Luke 2, when he was in the midst, he was astonishing. In John 8, with the woman taken in adultery, he was her advocate. But in John 19, in this verse, where Jesus is in the midst, he's my atonement. Boy, I wish I had some help here in the new seats. Tommy, I know it's a little more difficult to get up and down. But not on now, he is my atonement. Because I don't know much about the man on the left. I don't know much about the man on the right. But I do know something about the man in the midst. And then all through the Bible. Boy, I wish I had time. And then in John 20. In John 20. After the resurrection. All the disciples are in the upper room. They got the doors locked because they're scared. They done crucified their Savior. Now they're in the upper room. They're scared. And the same day at evening, when being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And this is what he will. When you need assurance, not only is he astonishing, not only is he our advocate, not only is he our atonement, but he will give you assurance when you need it. When you're scared to death and you have fear, Jesus will come and stand in the midst and say, peace be unto you. Another one is over there in Revelation chapter number 1, where John's writing the book of Revelation, and he says over there, he says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Those 7 golden candlesticks are the church. The churches, the 7 churches of the book of Revelation. And in the midst of these 7 golden candlesticks, these 7 churches, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about with the paps with a golden girdle. You know who's supposed to be in the midst of this church? He's supposed to be in the midst. Now let me get back to the verse I want to preach on. All of that was introduction. It was free. You don't want to give any more. But in John chapter number 20, go back there. I want you to look at, we're going to dissect this verse in John chapter number, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter number 20 and verse 18. And this is what it says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means that every church service we have, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Jesus ought to be in the midst. Now, let me show you. Number one, very quickly. Number one, there's a promise. There's a promise that's made. This promise is, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there's he's going to be in the midst. There's a promise. There's more than two or three today, right? He ought to be in the midst. There's his promise. But along with that promise is a prerequisite. Notice what the prerequisite is. Because I've been in a bunch of churches that Jesus wasn't even in the parking lot.
Come on now.
He wasn't even in the front yard. He wasn't even invited. So I do have a promise, but to get to that promise, we have to meet a prerequisite. And that's what it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. A lot of churches, the Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God don't meet in every church unless they're meeting in his name. Now, when there's two guys standing there, or women, whatever y'all talk about, maybe y'all talk about, you know, the new hairdo or the new nail polish or whatever that's coming out, or this, that, and the other, or two guys are talking about hunting and fishing, where there's nothing wrong with that, and all the things that's coming to you going hunting this weekend, whatever, where there's two or three guys standing around talking about that, there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus has no guarantee. He's not obligated to get in the midst of that, right? Because that ain't in his name. Nothing wrong with it. If you want to get around and talk about golf, that's wonderful. That's great. And I'm still giving Cecil lessons, and it's going pretty good here lately. But we get together, we talk about golf. But God, there's nothing wrong with talking about God. But when two guys or whatever get together, we start talking about that. God's not obligated to get in the midst of that because we're not in his name. But when two or three are gathered together, and they start talking about, hey, let me tell you how good God's been to me this week. Let me tell you what God has done. Tommy, let me just tell you, and you tell me, how good God has been to you and how God has been good to me. God is obligated then to step in between us and get in the midst. You ever wondered why? I've wondered about this, Sammy. I wonder why in the Bible, Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. Why two? Because he's got to have something to get in the midst of. So if you go and there's two people and you go out witnessing, Jesus says, hey, go two by two. Why? Because when you're standing there, or they invite you into their house, maybe, and you're sitting on the couch, and there's two of y'all, and then one of them that maybe needs to know how to get saved. They want to know about the Lord. And then you two that know him start saying, hey, I'm going to tell you, like Tim was saying a while ago about the old man when he got saved and all that kind of stuff, and the old man is dead. And listen, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know about you, but I just want to tell you what happened to me. When I was a 10-year-old boy, God started leading with my heart. I don't know how it does you. I'm just telling you how it done me. And boy, I'm telling you what I got to say. And y'all start talking between yourself in his name. Jesus will come and get in the midst of that. And when he comes and gets in the midst of that, that person that's listening says, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. There's the prerequisite. We have to meet in his name. And then not only is the promise, there's the prerequisite. And so we're trying to meet the prerequisite. Then there's proof. There is proof that when that happens, that he'll get in the midst of that. He's got a promise, there's prerequisite, and then there's proof. But here's the part I want to preach on. And then there's the position. Hallelujah. I didn't take my medicine this morning. I drank one of them extra caffeine-filled, you know, and sometimes I get the shakes, you know. But here's the position. Have y'all ever wondered why a church is laid out the way it is? This is what got me. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I'll be honest, church, we're out here in the middle of the country, Mills Field. People say, well, what's the difference in preaching to 500? What's the difference in preaching to 65 or 85 or last Sunday 110, whatever it is? I'll tell you, I had rather preach to 65 where Jesus is in the midst than 500 where he ain't even in the parking lot. Amen. Think about this. Think about the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was a piece of furniture, and it had two cherubims on the top of that thing. And those cherubims have several different wings. And those two are facing one another. There's two of them. And they're facing one another. Notice their wings, their head is faced and focused down where Jesus is going to get in the midst. Their wings are covering their, so they block out. I'm fixing to preach now. So if this is what's telling me what I think it's telling me, then before Jesus can get in the midst, we're going to have to block out everything we've heard. Let me get over to the Pentecostal side. Before Jesus can get in the midst, you're going to have to block out and focus. Block out and focus on the center of attention, and it's not me, it's him. And one time a year, the Day of Atonement, that high priest would go in there and they would sprinkle the blood from the mercy seat. They would sprinkle the blood on top of that mercy seat right there. And God, where two or three are gathered in my name, there's two cherubims, there's one high priest. The blood, Jesus says, I'll come down and be in the midst of that. I want Jesus to be in the midst. Now, you ever wonder why church is set up the way it is? I got to thinking about this. Now, we don't have a choir loft. We don't have, but I have been in churches where they have seats up here, you know, and the choir gets up there and they sing for church. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. And somebody says, hey, do y'all have a choir at your church? I said, yeah, we do. We do. Y'all are the choir. And you ever wondered how church is laid out? Now, Tim got up here and sung, and then me and Leslie and Blake got up here and sung, and we sung, you know, lined out right here, about where the choir usually would be in a regular church that's laid out that has a choir loft. Y'all with me? We sang up here, and y'all were out there. One, two. We're singing, you're responding. We're up here singing, you're responding. You have to be focused. You got to block out. The reason some Jesus can't get in the midst. What's the score? How much more time has he got? Y'all didn't know I was coming to preach today, did you? I got a new shirt. I'm ready. You have to be focused, and you have to block out. So when whoever's singing up here, and y'all are out there, and you're, yes, that's good. Now, you don't have to respond, like, yeah, I'm not saying, but you're focused. Everybody responds a little different. Tommy, y'all, I mean, he's up and down, and I love it. I wish I had 40 more. But then everybody's different. Everybody's focused and different. Tommy does him. He does his thing. And then sometimes I look over at Miss Ruby. Hey, Miss Ruby. We're singing something. It's what Miss Ruby does.
All right.
That's where she's focused. That's what she does. And everybody does their own little thing, how they get into the worship service. You all have to say, God didn't make us robots. Everybody's different. Everybody's emotions are different. But I can tell you this, you have to be focused and focused in on what God's doing in the service. Whatever, right here, we got up here, choir, special singing, whatever you want to call it right here, and then y'all watch here, what's in the middle between the singers and the pew. What's in the middle? So if the singers do their part and y'all do your part, come on, sing good. That's good. Come on, that's good. I even saw Josh get, boy, he got the Holy Ghost a while ago and had his hand up. And what happens is God says, all right, they're doing their part, they're doing their part. I tell you what, when the preacher gets up to preach, I'm going to get in the midst of it. And that's what God said. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. So there's a prerequisite. We got to get the name. We got a promise that he would get in our services. But some churches are not, because people are not doing their part. Now, and then the preacher gets up and starts preaching. And he's preaching, and if he's doing it right, and he's got, it ain't about the preacher. It's about Jesus in the midst of the preacher. When he opens that Bible, that word, you say, preacher, what is that word? That's him. Now, when the preacher starts preaching. Watch. I'm doing my part, supposed to be, if I'm prayed up, ready, got my studied up, I got my verses, I know, you know, that God, that's what I think you want me to do and to share with the people, and you're doing your part. Some people have a Bible, some people do have, they look at their Bible on their phone, and I got that, you know, I got that. I'm not knocking that. If that's, you know, that's why we put it on the screen. Some people bring their Bible, and they put it like this, and you're doing your part, you're focused in, you're blocking out. Remember, cherubims, blocking out. Focused in. I'm doing my part. You're doing yours. Then what's in the middle between me and you now? There's an altar between the pulpit and the seats. While the singer's up here singing, that's why we've always said singing prepares the heart for the word. So you got singers. And y'all are doing your part. Singers are doing theirs. And then Jesus says, I'll come and get in on the preaching in the midst of it. And then when the preacher does his part and you're still doing yours, then the invitation's given. Then what's between me and you? Where God says, I'll be in the midst of that. Churches don't use altars anymore. But God says, I'll get in the midst. Now, can God hear your prayer right there and say, I know that. Oh, I know that. I know that. Why, I know that good as anything. I know where God has met me, got in the midst of my car before. Sitting there and a good song comes on, or somebody's preaching on the radio, whatever it is, and if it's good and God's in it, then he'll get right up in the car with me. And then somebody pulls out in front of him, and he leaves. It happens to me every time. The devil knows exactly. When the singers are doing their part, you're doing their part. God says, I'll be in the midst. That's right here. But then when the preacher does his part, and you're doing your part, then the midst where Jesus says, he says, I'll meet you right down here. And I remember. Now look, again, everybody's different. I know some people say, Brad, preacher, if I get down, I can't get back up. That's fine, I got it, I know. I understand all that. But there's something about God bending a knee and saying, God, I sure do need you to get in the midst of my family right now. I need you to get up in the midst of my church right now. God, I need you to get up in the midst of my school right now. I need you to get up in the, whatever it is. There's just something about bending, closing, focus, God. get in the midst of this thing. I remember growing up, and I'll be honest, and I'm closing, but I remember growing up. Some of you, I got a lot of family members in here, and I'm telling you, I remember places I've been, places I've preached, and while the singing's going on, it ain't even invitation time yet. Here comes somebody, they come down the altar to pray. We have an idea that the altars, it's only, you can only come down here when we sing "Just As I Am." The altars are open anytime. It don't matter. The altars are open anytime. When you need God to get in the midst of your situation, whatever it may be, you may be in the upper room, your doors are shut, you're scared to death, and you just need some assurance. God, I need you to get up in the midst of this thing.
Come on.
Lord, I need you to meet me right where I'm at. And get in the midst. And let me say this in closing. Sammy's coming. This Bible right here is the only book you'll ever read where, let me say this. I like to read books. I'll read different authors and whatever on different subjects. But you know what? Some of those old timers have already wrote the book and they're dead and gone. The author's never present while I'm reading it. But this is the only book you'll ever read where the author will always be present. You ever thought about that? You can read books about whatever, and it'll be a good book. But the author is never going to be right there on your shoulder. In the presence. But every time you open this one, the author is present. In the midst. This is the only book you'll ever read where while you're reading it, it's reading you. And that thing, boy, knows more. You would be surprised. Our churches have left the word. We've left our altars. And Jesus is not obligated to get in the midst if we're not meeting in his name. If we're not meeting those prerequisites to meeting his name. Jesus said, I'll be in the midst. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. God, I think I did what you told me to, and where two or three are gathered, I don't know how many of us is here, but there's more than two or three. The singers did their part. The people's been good listeners. They were focused in. They did theirs. But God, I'm praying right now you'd get in the midst of our church, in the midst of our, like you promised, you said you'd be in the midst of it. I pray you'd do it. If there's somebody under the sound of my voice that don't know you, they don't know you. They've never asked you to come and be in the midst of their life. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would reach out and touch them right now where they are and meet them right where they are. In Jesus' name, won't you stand all of the building? Who's coming? Anybody coming to the altar?